Welcome to the audio format of POS 214 Politics in Africa 2. This audio format is brought to you by School Drillers. In this audio, we would discuss the Lecture 1 topic of your course material. Let's get started. Lecture 1 topic, General Profile, Features and Characteristics of Post-Independence African States. At the end of this lecture, you should be able to take note of the following area for examination. 1. Discuss the major features of African states. 2. Discuss the attributes or characteristics they have in common, and 3. Discuss the consequences of colonial and imperialist plunderage or exploitation of Africa. Introduction. This lecture intends to present the major features and characteristics of African states' legal or political independence. It is, in a sense, a general overview of the continent. POS 214 should be taken as a continuation of POS 213. It deals with most of the salient aspects of politics in post-colonial Africa. The course introduces fresh students to applied politics in their continent. The course also attempts to capture African politics within an implicit comparative perspective. The year 1960 is usually called Africa's year by students of African politics. This is not for nothing. That year or thereabout, several hitherto British and French possessions assumed sovereign status. As many of them that attained independence entered into the glamorous Committee of Nations. But the sovereignty or independence was and still is only legal or political. It does not connote economic or financial independence. Several years of colonial rule, as high as 100 in states like Nigeria, and the manner independence was achieved in majority of these states have negative consequences on the African continent. 28 or so years after sovereignty, these states persist in fundamental problems and dilemma. I am sure you are aware that so-called new states suffer from certain inherent and apparently endemic problems. J. Bayoadikin has identified 6 of such. These are 1. The dilemma of creating a political order ab initio, that is, from the beginning. 2. Lack of national integration. 3. Weakness of central leadership. 4. Demands of economic development. 5. Crisis of legitimacy, and 6. Reign of terror. At the same time, the following features and attributes are very salient. First, Africa was and still remains a potentially rich continent. Yet, it suffers from chronic economic underdevelopment. No wonder, amongst the 31 least developed countries, LDCs, in the world, 21 of them are in Africa. Part of the explanation for the phenomenon is that Africa is a monocultural, mainly agricultural continent. In fact, 30-40% of her GNP is derived from agriculture. Compare this figure, if you like, with 5-10% in developed, capitalist countries like the US, UK, France and others. The world average stands at 14%. Second, Africa's underdevelopment is mainly technological. This is an historical reality. While Africa lacks raw materials in machine and electronics, the energy resources she possesses are exploited and processed mainly by foreign, multinational corporations. Third, Africa was the continent with the longest colonial situation. Fourth, Africa is confronted with teething problems of adaptation to a largely hostile international environment. African states are weak states in a world characterized by power, to use the happy expression of M.R. Singer. Indeed, William Tordoff indicates that African states are generally poor, predominantly rural and over-dependent on the vagaries of the world market. He continues, in the international context, the new states were no match, either diplomatically or militarily, for the developed states. 1. Since these states, and others in the so-called Third World, are politically weak and diplomatically fragile, non-alignment was coined as a diplomatic comportment of developing countries. The objective was to peacefully coexist with the two principal world ideological camps. 5. One of the most visible characteristics of Africa, 29 years after legal independence, is the high profile of France. The elements of this phenomenon include the following. 1. French military presence with more than 10,000 men distributed through the continent from Dakar to Djibouti. 2. Economic presence through the mechanism of the franc zone, there. Franc is the French money. 3. French cultural presence reinforced from 1986 through the Francophonie, which regroups all French-speaking countries on the planet. 4. French political presence vista the Franco-African summits, held annually, and attended by almost all African countries. Notable exceptions have been Algeria and Cameroon. 6th and perhaps most importantly, Africa stands, like never before, at the threshold of recolonization not only by ex-imperial powers but also by capitalist financial clubs like the World Bank, IMF, etc. To be sure, you know that Africa's debt trap is becoming more and more serious and pernicious. The Nigerian example suffices here. While she cannot yet verify her public debt of about $18,453 billion, she has gone ahead to reschedule them. This involves interest payments of some $3,958 billion, almost 40% of federal military government's budget for 1987. Simultaneously, this giant of Africa took another $700 million loan from the Paris Club, plus a World Bank loan of $5 billion in the pipeline since the 1987 financial year. What this means is that our generation and that of our children would merely be paying debts incurred by civilian and military leaders who regard official thievery and corruption as more normal for government business than public probity and accountability. 7th, mixed economy has been the vogue since independence. This has been raised to the level of religion. Yet, Frederick Hayek points out in his book The Road to Serfdom that a mixed country economy produces mixed results, that it lacks the proven benefits of capitalism or socialism. 8th, political instability is a recurring phenomenon. If we define political instability merely as the existence of endemic crises in the socio-economic system, virtually all African states qualify to be called politically stable. Uganda is one of the most afflicted. For a long time regarded as the pearl of Africa whose products of ginger and coffee marked her out as the pride of East Africa, Uganda has not known much political tranquility. She has passed through high-handed, authoritarian, bloodthirsty and ethnically biased leaders like Milton Obote, Idi Amin Dada. She has also known puppet rulers such as Yusuf Lule and Godfrey Binaisa. She thoroughly exemplifies a continent of constant turbulence and violent eruptions. 9th, whereas several of the states started off, at independence, as multi-party or two-party systems, today, most of them are either monoparty or militarist states. In other words, the pluralism of yesterday, which recognized some form of opposition and competing centers of thought, has been replaced, today, by centralization of power and authority. In fact, several types of one-party system are to be found. They vary from party-dominant through bureaucracy-dominant type to one viciously controlled by Mr. President and his innermost circle of advisors and collaborators. 10th, flowing from the above point is that power has become or is becoming personalized in the hands of Mr. President. As you shall see later, the leader also personifies power. There is, however, a debate in the literature concerning whether a single individual, even with his unconditional clan of supporters, can single-handedly take critical national decisions. Of course, such national decisions do not mean much to a leader who regards his state as his own personal estate. 11th, one thing that ought to bother even the most cursory observer or student of African politics is the culture of easy-to-rise and easy-to-fall governments. Of course, you can easily point to durable governments, particularly on one-party states, Omar Bongo's Gabon, Edema's Togo, and even the seeming smooth continuity achieved in Senegal, Sadar Senghor to Abdou Diouf, and Cameroon, Ahmadou Ahidjo to Paul Biya, etc. Of course, you would be right. But, as we will later show, This question of political stability and instability goes beyond durability or otherwise of governmental teams. Even in the example above, there are so many struggles for power, prestige and privilege that Mr. President changes his cabinet as often as he wishes. Governance becomes a function of the whims and caprices of the leader. 12th, military interventions have tended to become more of a rule than an aberration. But, then, it seems that some states, after surviving attempts of military officers to unseat their leaders, have escaped this scepter if coups, counter-coups, palace coups and intrigues, etc. To paraphrase the late South Africa scholar, Ruth First, coups that promise much and change little in Africa has become the norm. In the 1960s and 1970s, Benin Republic was notorious for frequent and frivolous military interventions. 13th, because of colonial disruption and distortion, there is much arithmetic of ethnicity. Ethnic, religious and such conflicts are perennial in several states. These states are nation states, as we'll show later. They are in search of a new identity, they are said to be creating nations. However, the modalities and instruments used in some states without regard to the sensibilities and feelings of some so-called lesser or minority groups give one the feeling that in some parts of Africa, national integration as a project was abandoned long ago. 14th, except for few states which claim to profess no ideology at all, I doubt if this is even possible, there is, in Africa, the profession of some form of socialism. There are, you can be sure, various shades and colors of socialism and Marxism-scientific, African, humanist, etc. There are also countries like the Ivory Coast that offer no apology to anyone for its capitalist-intensive socio-economic system. This suggests that Africa is a complex category or phenomenon, she is mediated by various forms of influences, beliefs, philosophies, currents, ideologies, etc. This is what we propose to study, theme by theme, in this course. We have come to the end of Lecture 1 Pose 214. You can visit www.schooldrillers.com for more lecture. Thank you.